Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock. Colin Cowherd is still out on vacation, so I'm joined today by Eric Davis, Doug Gottlieb, and Jason McIntyre. Let's start with some amazing news, some big news out of the NBA. Cleveland, where according to Brian Windhorst, Kyrie Irving has asked the Cavaliers for a trade. Reportedly, Kyrie wants to be the focal point of whatever team he's on and no longer wants to play alongside LeBron James. LeBron was reportedly blindsided and disappointed by Kyrie's desire. But I'm not all that surprised by this news because Kyrie Irving is really immature. This is the flat earth guy. This is the Becky Bolt bash guy. Not that I have a problem with that. But again, Kyrie Irving doesn't have self-awareness to understand the opportunity he's been blessed with to play alongside a guy that helped him reach three straight NBA finals, win an NBA final. He's a better player and a better winner with LeBron James. He wants to move away from LeBron James. That's crazy to me, but I'm not that surprised.
You're not surprised? I'm kind of stunned. I'm not surprised that they won't all, you know, get in cabs and go elsewhere. But with 1 year left with LeBron, you would think you would ride it out. That would be, this is like splitting tens. Like if the Golden State Warriors are 21, they're blackjack, you know, 10th, essentially they beat anything else but that. And that's how we view the Cavaliers. And who would split tens? That's what he's doing here. He may be immature.
You know who split tens?
What?
Kobe.
Well, yeah,
Kobe and Shaq.
You run
Kobe
Shaq off.
Tens.
Look, I think there might be some similarities here, but you mentioned how he should honor the fact he's playing alongside arguably the greatest player ever.
Three straight finals.
I got it, okay? He wasn't first, second, or third team All-NBA this year. He had his best year as a pro. He averaged 25 points a game. He had a better year statistically than Steph Curry did.
Blame that on the voters.
I understand that, but some of that is playing in LeBron's shadow, and you already won a championship. And look, the offseason's been a mess. And whether it's LeBron, whether it's the ownership, or LeBron can't get along with the ownership, and the fact that we don't know the inner workings of this team, I'm stunned by it. But I think that while it might be immature, it also might be a guy who's a little bit too smart for his own good. Right? He came out and he had that podcast where he said, you know, some of my friends think I might quit basketball early. Like, I think he's trying to search for something, and maybe that search takes him away. I think it's a mistake to split tens. But I think he's a little bit of a different cat, and maybe that's what's at play here.
I'm surprised that the organization has gotten so dysfunctional that one of your star players wants to get out, right? You don't have a general manager. You can't get guys to want to come and play. LeBron doesn't seem to want to commit. Kyrie is asking to get out of there. So from that standpoint, that's shocking to me that after, like Jason just said, after three straight championships, You have a guy that's in this locker room, a focal point star on the team, saying, I don't want to be here, when he does have the best player on the team. So immature. I don't know if it's immaturity or if he's getting older and he's like, I just want to be the man again.
Well, hold on. You said that when you have one of the best in basketball, and I don't know if it's this way in football because there's more guys, but in basketball, generally, however your best player is, that's what your team becomes, right? And it's safe to say that LeBron James has been miffed. He's turned off by the owner. Like, the owner and the best player are having a fight, and the whole league is speculating that LeBron's going to leave. So if there's unrest with the top player, why wouldn't Kyrie Irving also kind of feel that unrest and react and be the same type of guy?
No, that's a great point, Doug, about the players talking, you know, and that's where we are in the NBA. It's a players' league now. They control the shots. Kyrie was out here this week in L.A. playing basketball at UCLA with Jimmy Butler, who's now in Minnesota on a really good team that looks like the next team in the West. And Carmelo Anthony, who's going to dictate where he's going. Hey, I'm going to go to Houston, or maybe I'll go to Cleveland. And the players are calling the shots. Here's Kyrie. Well, what are you going to do, man? Well, I might be stuck here in Cleveland. I mean, Kevin Love, they try to ship him out of town. Maybe they try to trade me. I think Kyrie's just unsure, and he wants to start calling the shots. I'm a 25-point-a-game guy.
I get wanting to call the shots, but the thing that blows my mind, he doesn't want to play with LeBron James. And again, I hear the dysfunction in Cleveland, blah, blah, blah. But you just were in the NBA Finals.
Three straight times.
Yep. LeBron seems to be coming back this year. You stick it out. Why are you demanding a trade right now? It seems incredibly immature and delusional.
Because if you stay right now, you're still not the man. And I think we all agree he wants to be the man. He was the first overall pick.
Yeah.
They gave him the contract to say that you're the franchise guy. Okay,
he's not
Kobe, but he, you know what? Right now, he's Robin to Batman. I mean, that's just how it's going to be. And he wants to be the superhero. He wants to go somewhere. And if you stay on this team.
Awful with him as the man.
In fairness, he was hurt every year, and they were very, very young. They were a terrible team, a terrible organization. No one would have been good
when you're 20 years old. Eric, you're 100% right. Kobe, without Shaq or without Pau Gasol, what was he? He was a 35-point-a-game guy that got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. So Kyrie wants that life. Hey, you can have it, son.
And just look at this. If he stays here one more year, knowing that LeBron's not all in, everyone's feeling like LeBron wants to move. You stay with him one more year, he's not in. Where are you going to be? Will that team make it to the finals? And LeBron leaves and you stay?
Better to get out now.
Let's move to what this says about LeBron James.
Uh-oh.
I'm mostly blasting Kyrie Irving's immaturity. But I think Doug's already hinted at a point that LeBron's upset, and that filters down to the rest of the team. LeBron James, again, great player, but everywhere he goes, there's drama. Everywhere. There is dysfunction wherever he goes. Tremendous player. I'm not knocking him as a player, but he's not remotely perfect. And the fact that someone this talented who's helped him win in his hometown, knocked down the biggest shot in the series they won, that he somehow has allowed this young kid to get so out of pocket that he doesn't want to play with him, this is also a bit of an indictment on LeBron.
I think it's more than a bit. It is an indictment on LeBron James, because it's up to you to maintain all the balance in your own ship, right? And instead, he's created more chaos because he's openly questioned management, because he's tweeted about David Griffin not being retained. Like, you can't, as much as you want to, you can't do that when you're LeBron James. And something I pointed out on this show with you guys is, like, LeBron's never been held accountable for some of the things that he and Rich Paul have pushed in terms of the contract. Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, in terms of those contracts. LeBron James last year, even when they don't win the NBA championship, he averaged a triple-double, so it obviously wasn't LeBron.
It's
never LeBron's fault. And at some point, you're like, dude, you know what? It is kind of LeBron's fault. I already have a ring. I'd like to be happier. The ship's sinking. Get out a little bit earlier. But I think LeBron's lack of leadership in many different ways, more so than what we see just on the floor and rah-rah in front of the camera, I think this is an indictment of it.
Doug, he was in the clear, right? LeBron said, I'm coming back to Cleveland. I'm going to bring him a title. He did it in an amazing fashion. They were down 3-1. He rallied them, the greatest finals rally ever. He mission accomplished. And now he's in the clear. He could leave for L.A. Nobody would burn his jersey. Nobody's going to rip him. And now it's like, well, dude, you wouldn't commit. You tried to ship Kevin Love out of town. Now you tried to trade Kyrie. Now Kyrie doesn't want. This is on you, LeBron. It's all of a sudden it's snowballing on LeBron James.
There was talk of trading Kyrie before this, right?
Yeah.
That was actually part of the discussion.
There was part of that talk, but I have to say, in some ways, you do have to look at this. LeBron was given credit for everything being built up. He was given all the credit for putting that team together and getting things done. But you have to be able to learn how to keep the superstars happy. He knows he has to have this other guy, and we've seen this play out. You mentioned Kobe and Shaq. You have to find a way to be able to keep that together. I understand, and you don't necessarily have guys that are going to like one another, but you have to learn how to function as well. And, Doug, before we started this, we were talking about the fact that this information is getting out. I'm with you on the fact that from a leadership standpoint, everything that happens with the teams that LeBron James is on, it's out there. And
it always leaks.
Somehow the information always gets out, and that's a little messy, and that's something for him as the leader. He has to find a way to get that fixed.
Look, he started this free agency period. There were stories or leaks. LeBron's hands off. He's not actively recruiting people. Again, he hasn't been managing what he built.
Correct.
He disengaged, and now Kyrie Irving, who, again, LeBron should have recognized, hey, this dude's a little immature. I better keep my thumb on him or stay in constant communication, make him feel like he's a part of whatever we're doing.
Manage it.
Share the leadership with Kyrie. He's knocked down big shots. I can't win without him. He hasn't done it. The thing is falling apart. Oof. This is a...
So what does LeBron do with this news that's out there? He's got to react. He can't do nothing. He can't just sidestep it.
Cleveland's up in flames. He's looking for
a helicopter. He's got a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, he's looking for a helicopter out of Saigon, too.
The question becomes, does this current group even make it to next season?
No.
Right?
I don't know if they make it to August.
You're being serious, and I'm there with you. Like, if you're Dan Gilbert and you're like, this guy wants out, I don't know the move that you could make. I mean, could you get Carmelo for him? Yeah, but you're not a championship team.
Does Carmelo want to go there, or does he want to go to Houston, though? Right now, Cleveland, like you said, is in flames. Well, okay. Couldn't land Chauncey Billups. Couldn't get Paul George. No, who's running the show there?
One other layer I want to get to before we get out of here. Kyrie Irving wants out. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, he just tweeted out here recently that in his conversations, he said he wants to go to San Antonio. Kyrie Irving wants to go to San Antonio. A ball-dominant guard wants to go play for Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. But maybe he'll adjust. Maybe he's not as immature as I'm saying.
Hey, I'm kind of with you, Jason. I mean, like, look, if anytime you say, I want to be coached by somebody who demands that you set aside your ego, right? And that the big thing with San Antonio is that we want guys who forget about who they are or what they are, and they just give themselves to the team. I think that's actually a really mature statement. I don't know how it fits, but also remember, like, Tony Parker is not a creative passer. He's more of a scorer.
And coming off the big injury as well.
Right. The question becomes, can he force it to happen? It's fascinating to me that we all assumed, all right, it was Cleveland, Golden State, and even with all this other movement, it would still be Cleveland and Golden State next year. Now, all of a sudden, all that potentially changes here with this news.
Cleveland's out of it right now, anyway, no matter what. Even if you don't move any pieces, if Kyrie stays,
they're
shot mentally. Absolutely.
Listen, why are we dismissing? He wants to go to San Antonio. You think he didn't do any homework on San Antonio and the possibility? That would be awesome for the NBA.
You think the Cavs are just going to give him up?
I don't know, give him up, but you got to do something.
Oh, wow.
But listen, I thought you had something interesting about maybe the Clippers being a good fit for
him. I don't see why the Clippers, they just gave up Chris Paul. Okay, Kyrie wants a big market, wants to be the man. We know Blake Griffin. You know, he's a little advanced in his age. He's got some injuries. Kyrie could go there and be the man. Showtime-type atmosphere with Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. I think you're shaking your head, Doug. You're not feeling the Clippers?
It's the Clippers.
And then LeBron goes to the Lakers and they got the head-to-head.
No, I mean, like, look, if the San Antonio thing is real, it signals that he still wants to win, he wants to be the man, but he wants to allow himself to be coach. The other one to me, I still think at some point somebody's going to try and do the Knicks thing. It's always happened in the front office. It's happened with went to high school in Jersey. I know he was born in Australia. The Knicks to me are interesting. Clippers are potentially, but the Clippers are a lot more like the Nets, right? The Lakers are going to have a ton of cap space. He hasn't always been a point guard. He's been a two guard. We could get lost in the speculation of where he could go. Just the idea, as you said, Jason, they're mentally shot. All that other movement aside, it was still Cavs and Warriors until this moment.
Have you heard from Kevin Love since, the last 2 months? He's been silent. Team's messed up.
I'm sitting here thinking about him in San Antonio, though. He wants to be the focal point of the team that has Kawhi Leonard. and again, so maybe that's a little bit overblown.
Focal point is he doesn't want to play with LeBron.
All right, welcome back to the show. Eric Davis and Doug Gottlieb are back. We're joined now by Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson. Let's move to Dallas, where Ezekiel Elliott made headlines this week with allegations of a bar fight, which still have yet to be confirmed. On Monday, Hall of Famer Jerome Bettis
blamed the Cowboys' culture for Elliott's behavior. But not surprisingly, Zeke found a defender in former Cowboy Tony Romo.
He's a good kid. He's just trying to find his way. He's young. He's going to be in a position that's always going to be, you know, in a spot where people are going to take a photo. They're going to talk about it. We all get these little times in our career where you can go two different directions. And, you know, he's figuring it out.
Romo's not the only Cowboy defending Zeke. Now Dez Bryant says, quote, "It's just a stepping stone that he's going to get over. Zeke's a young guy. I'm not blaming it on that. But freshman college to playing for America's team, it's kind of hard to deal with." It sounds like the Cowboys are kind of enabling Zeke, and he doesn't need to be enabled. I completely disagree with Jerome Bettis' sentiment that this, the Cowboys' locker room is the problem. Zeke Elliott is the problem. He's immature. He's had maturity issues since Ohio State. He probably had them in high school. Joey Bosa and he were roommates at Ohio State. Joey Bosa's last year at Ohio State, he moved out on Zeke. He's like, I got to be someplace a little bit more stable. And again, it wasn't a shot at Zeke, but it was just like, there's too much fun going on here. I'm focusing on my career. Zeke's the issue. They shouldn't enable this.
I'm going to side with Bettis on this one. Zeke has to grow up. I get what he's saying, but the culture of the Cowboys, it allows this kind of stuff to thrive.
Same as Ohio State.
It always has. Yes.
It allows it to thrive.
He was allowed to do the things that he was doing at Ohio State.
So he's got the same culture as his parents. His dad said.
You have a locker room in which these things are allowed to go on. There are guys. Everyone freaked out when Mixon was drafted by the Bengals. Why? Because there's a certain culture there, and everyone's saying that's a bad place for him to be. You got to look at this. You don't see these things happening in Green Bay. It's not like they have a bunch of choir boys, which would make sense for you to have more things that would cause trouble.
You can find trouble.
That's what I'm saying.
In a barn,
guys go to the Patriots. You don't. These things don't happen. Okay. We're talking about getting in trouble. We're not talking about getting in trouble, okay?
We're talking about getting in trouble.
I'm not trying to go there. I'm saying there is a culture there that allows this to thrive.
Yeah, Dallas has got good strip clubs. But anyway, go
they
ahead.
Got some of the best strip clubs. I got to say, you know, I agree and I disagree. I feel like that it becomes his responsibility. Look, you're in the National Football League. And you said it right. It probably started in high school. You know Ohio State. You know they let them do whatever they want to do. That Urban Meyer here hit it. You to the Cowboys. It's called the Cowboy Effect. Everybody wants to be around a Dallas Cowboy. And especially, he's a superstar, Rookie of the Year, ran for 1,600 yards. He's the number one draft pick. You know, girls are everywhere, and opportunities are everywhere. It comes to a point where you look,
I want to be a lot like SMU.
I don't know what you're talking about. You never saw me get in trouble. With no cell phone.
They ain't got cell phone, dude. He's too busy counting all that money. That's why.
Can we get off my school, please?
So, you got nothing?
I was letting the Hall of Famer speak.
That's my train of thought. Go on, you got it. Take it from there.
Look, it comes down. I completely agree with Jerome Bettis, because what he's saying in culture is, when Jerry Jones is asked about it, well, he's just a young guy. When Tony Romo is former quarterback, he's just a young, fun-loving guy. His dad is just a young. Nobody's going, what you said. Like, hey, man, you're grown. However old you are, you're now in a profession. You're now a grown man. And if one grown man knocks out another, look, he's lucky that the dude who he knocked out didn't have a buddy, went back to his car and got a gun. Right? Let's be honest. In Texas, like, he's got to grow up. And the messages that he's receiving from the top, from Jerry Jones, who has the picture of the girl with his head in his lap, it gets received by players that, hey, it's the Cowboys, you can get away with it. And until somebody draws a line in the sand that says, you stepped over it, and now you're going to have to sit a while, he's not going to learn from his mistakes.
Look. I was on ADD medicine as a kid. They didn't call it ADD.
Ritalin. Man.
Ritalin or whatever.
Yeah. You're hyper?
Yeah, hyper. Yes, I was hyper.
So you saying?
And I was trouble. I mean, my brother.
Did you get whoopings, though?
Yes, I did. But that's again, my brother was no trouble. My brother never got a spanking his whole life. I got them all the time. Some people are different.
It's not surprising at all, by the way.
And look, the culture, my parents were strict, raised in the church. I was different. Doug, I know you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
You grew up in a certain culture, but
as a young person, you made mistakes. Yeah. I made mistakes.
But I didn't change until I lost basketball, right? Like, when I got lost basketball, my name was plastered on the front page of papers. And I learned. But this dude, I mean, again, and this is death by a thousand little cuts. With the exception of the thing with the woman, this is last year. Like, most of this stuff does not rise to the level of suspension worthy. But it's not until you lose football until you start to understand.
Well, you know how you lose football is you get locked up. Now, you get locked up, it's a whole different story.
I'm just talking about sat down for a game, embarrassed by the league.
But sitting down for a game, that's a game. I mean, if you sit down a season or eight games and they start taking that money away from you, it's different. Look, I know Zeke's agent very well, and I met Zeke many times, you know, four or five times. Went to the game, they invited me to a game when they played Dallas. You know, they thought he was going to break that record. That wasn't going to happen. And so, you know, Zeke is a respectful kid, but you can tell it's a little bit of arrogance about him. You know, it is. It's a little bit of arrogance about him. Like, look.
So how do you take that away?
But the thing about it is, when you play running back, you have to have a little bit of arrogance about yourself. Because, look, you're getting hit, talked to, stomped on, pushed around. So you have to have that. But you have to be able to control it. You know, fun is fun. But when you get in the newspaper, you know, you're pulling girls' tops down, you know, going 100 miles an hour. I went 100 miles an hour. I can't lie in a car. All of us are 21 years old, but, you know.
Let's move to the best backup in the NFL, Jimmy Garoppolo. According to an anonymous former teammate, Jimmy G has what it takes to be a great starter, says the former Patriot. Quote, I played against him every day in practice. He's all that. He can make all the throws. He can process all the information. I'm going to tell you this. If he had gotten traded to Cleveland, they're a borderline playoff team. I really believe that. I think this is bad news for Tom Brady. If Jimmy Garoppolo is good enough to take Cleveland to the playoffs, he's good enough to push Tom Brady into retirement. Eric, you've been on this the entire time. If Jimmy G's the real deal, sayonara, Tom Brady.
One exception. If Tom Brady continues to play at the level he's been playing the last couple of seasons, then it doesn't matter. You're not going to move Tom. You look at the last two seasons, his touchdown to interception rate is 64-9. If he can protect the ball that way, keep them winning at the level that they're winning 40. At, that he is not. I don't care. And if he's 40, if he plays, I'm telling you, if he plays at this level,
but what's
Garoppolo will still be backing up. He'll back him up.
Well, you know, football now, NFL is like 7-on-7. So he's not getting hit that much. And if you hit Tom Brady too hard, you know, flags fall out the sky. You know, the referees start throwing flags. The fans start throwing flags. So everybody throw a flag. I agree with you, Eric. If he keeps playing at that high level, how do you get rid of him? When Tom says he's ready.
They got rid of him.
Like I say, how many Super Bowls do you have over there?
Yeah,
five Super Bowl. New England, before he got there, there were no Super Bowls.
Joe Montana.
And San Francisco eventually will need a quarterback. His dad's talked about him ending his career elsewhere. You pointed out on this show several times that Giselle's setting the table for she wants him to retire. Look, there's two things that are undefeated. Hugh Freeze found out what one of them was. The other one is the other one's Father Time. And so, look, I agree with you that if he performs at that level, but the likelihood he continues to perform at this level. And, oh, yeah, by the way, this news leaking out is the best thing for Bill Belichick because now he still has that incredible trade value. We don't know how good Jimmy Garoppolo is, but the legend continues to grow. And if, in fact, they need to make a move end of season to get another player, they have that ultimate chip to make the deal.
Why would we expect Tom Brady to not play at the level?
Because he's 40.
So that's the only reason.
It's a really good reason.
So at 39, it's okay, but at 40, he can't do it.
I'm saying
eventually, but until you see some chinks in the armor.
Until you see this, do you start seeing this?
I saw it for three quarters in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's right. Down 28.
That can happen to anybody.
What was
the outcome of the Super Bowl?
We all respect Brady, but who has ever done it at 40?
Who has ever done what Brady's done?
Eventually, nobody. But eventually, there's going to be a decline.
I agree with that. Eventually.
But we haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it. When you start seeing, like, okay, you know, he's throwing too many picks. His arm strength is gone. You can see it. Then all of a sudden you say, okay.
We saw that with Brett Favre.
Tom Brady.
It's inevitable.
But that's my point. Until you see that, and I'm saying if he plays at this level next season, he's not going anywhere.
All right, welcome back. Eric Dickerson and Jason McIntyre back.
We're joined now by the best broadcaster in all of sports, Joel Klatt. He covers college football for us here at Fox. All right, let's move to Oxford, Mississippi, and the fall of Ole Miss football coach Hugh Freeze, who resigned yesterday amid reports of phone calls to an escort service. While the school hasn't released all the details of Freeze's misconduct, the whole situation cuts against the hyper-religious public image Freeze has cultivated through his Bible-heavy Twitter feed. As Clay Travis noted yesterday, the more religious a man claims to be, the freakier he is in real life. It's science. I think Clay's right. I think that Freeze and a lot of people, what they wear on their sleeves is to cover up who they really are. I don't think Hugh Freeze is unique in this way at all. I'm watching people now, oh, look how black and how pro I am, black people. And it's all to cover up how they're not, actually. And I think I see this in Colin Kaepernick and a lot of people. And so I'm not surprised at all that this very super religious, public-facing person has some demons inside that he's trying to cover up.
You know, on the personal side, I think that's an individual thing, right? I mean, whatever his demons are or aren't, you know, he's going to have to work out not only with he and his maker, but also his family. And so to that extent, what I think is a bigger issue here is the fact that this program and the adults surrounding this program cannot keep themselves out of turmoil with the NCAA. Going back a quarter of a century, the only success that you can point to that wasn't somewhat mired in turmoil with the NCAA was David Cutcliffe and Eli Manning. Yeah. And that was based on a previous relationship because Peyton played for David Cutcliffe at Tennessee. This is a program that doesn't know who they are, and because of that, they want to be Alabama, and the only way they do that is taking shortcuts.
I mean, Joel, to an extent, though, isn't that big-time college football now? I mean, everybody, you know what the money's like. Salaries are going up for the coaches. You got to compete in the hyper-competitive SEC West. I mean, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right? Isn't that the saying, Eric?
Look, let me tell you something. All of them cheat. All of them cheat. And when I talk to these alumni, I asked an alumni from Alabama, do y'all cheat? Oh, man, we never cheat. I say, so everybody that comes to Alabama, like the kids from Southern California, I can't wait to get to Tuscaloosa. I just can't wait to get from Southern California. It don't make sense. I mean, to compete, you have to cheat. And it's not even cheating. To me, you have to do something for these young players. I don't care how they cut it. The NCAA is making all this money off of these players.
Yep.
They don't make it off, they don't make them off the unit, sure, of the shirt running around. The players. And I feel like they should get something out of it.
See, the argument of whether we believe players should be compensated further versus our programs clean or not, I think are two separate arguments. Because, Eric, I'm with you. Players should be compensated, in particular for their name and likeness. And the fact that they're not is criminal, in particular in this democratic monetary world that we live in capitalism. Now, I don't think all programs are dirty. In fact, I think it's far less a percentage than people make it out to be. A lot of programs out there are doing this the right way. I know that you're going to scoff and scorn,
but what is the right way?
They're not breaking the rules. Doing it the right way, they're not breaking the rules.
I believe you're one of the most high integrity people I know in this profession. And the person that I know, because I consider myself high integrity, if I were making millions of dollars off the backs of some poor kids, and let's say you got a roster of 100, 15 of them are from some real poverty. I'm telling you, as me as a millionaire, ain't no way I'm making millions of dollars without sharing it with them poor kids. My integrity would make me do that.
Again, the discussion of whether programs are clean.
That's called checkmate.
Versus, no, I get it. Listen, I agree with you. Like I said to begin with, should
so
we be compensating?
So the people I don't respect are the ones that would collect that money and look at some poor kids and do nothing for them.
You got a scholarship.
This is a different show. We are talking about two very different things.
No, we just
whether programs. No. Whether programs are clean versus should players be compensated are two very different things. I think more programs are clean by the letter of the law. If you want to argue whether that letter of the law is right or not, that's a separate argument.
I didn't write the laws. If I were writing the laws, the millionaires that ain't sharing with the poor kids.
Well, see, I agree with you.
They would be locked up. They would be in trouble with the NCAA. I don't respect the NCAA or their rules. They need to be overturned.
Here's one thing that we can do. If we are the NCAA and we happen to, quote unquote, care about student athletes, every player on the roster for Ole Miss should be allowed to transfer without penalty.
I agree with
no that. Question about that, because you don't commit to a place or a program. You commit to people and a coaching staff.
I disagree with you.
Well, any
kids at Baylor should have been able to transfer.
Yeah, no, he's, I'm with him.
The only two instances that I can remember, Eric, actually, you were involved with one, SMU and Penn State.
I was not involved in that.
No, no, no. Not involved with the instances.
The Pony Express didn't invent it. Didn't
I was in
there.
I was in
I'm
the
talking
pros.
About players allowed to transfer without okay, penalty. SMU okay. and Penn State. Those were the instances I was referring to where it should be Baylor this last offseason. Now Ole Miss. Those players should be able to leave. That's how we can start protecting players.
So what about the school, like, totally defending Hugh Freeze throughout all the allegations of cheating and whether they were paying recruits, and then as soon as the escort number comes out, oh, we're dropping the hammer on Hugh Freeze.
You know what's interesting?
Isn't that interesting?
I think that he would have survived one of these without the other. If it was just the escort service, I think Hugh Freeze survives. If it's just the notice of allegations from the NCAA, I think Hugh Freeze survives. The combination of both made this
very
move in
quickly,
a certain
Joel,
direction.
Very yeah. quickly on this. Lane Kiffin's the perfect guy to just go clean up things at Ole Miss. He's the high integrity man they need.
Chip Kelly is not the guy to do it, and Les Miles isn't either. They're going to need someone from a lower level.
How about Bobby Petrino? He had some experience.
Yeah, but see, Bobby Petrino didn't have a show cause, and Hugh Freeze is going to have a show cause. This is not a good job. Hey, Ole Miss people, you can send me all the angry tweets that you want. Ole Miss is a bad job. The only thing that they have going for them, the only thing, is they're willing to do whatever it takes, and they'll pay a lot of money.
Thank God for it.